Welcome to CBS Mornings On The Go. Ahead on this Thursday, June 18th, dreams of retirement. It sounds nice, but a lot of people are actually pretty stressed out because they don't know if they can afford it. Thankfully, Jill Schlesinger is here to help. She's got great advice. Plus, actor Busy Phillips stops by, and she is on a mission to end the stigma around ADHD. Adults can have it, too. She knows because she's one of them, and she'll talk about the signs to look out for. We've also got a great conversation from Anthony Mason with rising music star Miles Smith. They talked about his years of hard work and becoming what many call an overnight success, but it wasn't overnight. More on that ahead.
But we are going to begin with some dangerous weather moving east. Check out this video from central Illinois. A tornado hurling debris into the air. There were multiple twisters Wednesday all across the Midwest. One storm in Effingham, Illinois, destroyed buildings and left people hurt. And that is where we find CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, what's going on?
Well, yeah, we had some injuries. No reported fatalities as of yet, so there's that good news. Certainly some human impacts. But here at this car museum that's been completely destroyed, I mean, it's pretty heartbreaking to see some of these beautiful old and new cars that have been totaled by this storm that came in right before sunset last night and just wiped out this entire spot. We did have 8 reported tornadoes. Check this out. Okay, so that's not a lot. But they were strong ones, and they were moving fast. So that just made for a terrifying chase, and certainly terrifying if you were in the path of that. We have tornado watches that have been extended till 8 o'clock Eastern time, just south of Louisville, eastern into eastern Kentucky, Charleston, West Virginia, and then a severe thunderstorm watch out now that does include Roanoke. And those will probably be extended as we go through the day. So New York City, down through D.C., down through Richmond, Baltimore, Philly, all the cities along I-95, up through Boston, Hartford as well, even up through northern New England, which may, because the low is up there, they may have a chance of seeing a tornado. So going to be dicey this afternoon and this evening there. We're watching remnants of Arthur, no longer a tropical storm, but plenty of moisture here. Lots of flooding expected in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia through Friday morning. And just be careful of those storms as they come through, Adriana, later on today. Hopefully, they'll be able to get the parade in before all that happens. Adriana?
Rob, say it ain't so. The parade's going to get going to happen. Rob Marciano. Raining on our parade.
I know. Don't rain on our parade, Rob.
Okay, so the Obama Presidential Center in Chicago will be formally dedicated today, 9.5 years after he left office. The facility cost around $850 million. It honors Barack Obama's political and personal life. The center opens to the public tomorrow on Juneteenth. And our Caitlin Huey Burns is there. Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning to you, Adriana. This is a moment a decade in the making. This museum is located here in Chicago's South Side. It's where former President Obama started his political career and where his wife, former First Lady Michelle Obama, grew up. And much like the president it commemorates, this center is making history in its own right.
Before you even step inside the Obama Presidential Center, there are signs of the 44th president's enduring legacy. The words wrapped around this tower.
The single most powerful word in our democracy is the word we.
Drawn from his 2015 speech commemorating the 50th anniversary of the civil rights marches from Selma to Montgomery. The nearly 20-acre campus combines traditional elements of presidential libraries, like the replica of the Oval Office and the First Lady's ball gowns, with the non-traditional, like an NBA regulation-sized basketball court.
So these are his own
personal books
that he's giving
that
here.
He is making available for people to see.
Valerie Jarrett, former Obama advisor and the Obama Foundation CEO, says the former first couple was heavily involved in the project.
Michelle Obama, growing up, because Chicago's pretty flat, wasn't able to go sledding. So she said, wouldn't it be fun if kids in Chicago could have a sledding hill? So now we have a sledding hill.
There's also a recording studio, community gardens, and a state-of-the-art playground, along with plenty of memorabilia from Obama's 2 terms.
We go through his 8 years, not just our successes, but where we fell short, where there's still work left to do. And the hope is that when people leave, they have this sense of the infinite possibilities to be forces for good in their own lives. That in a sense, they bring the hope that they experience here home.
Now, there are a slew of musical guests set to perform here today. You can hear the sound check behind me from John Legend to Bono to Bruce Springsteen. But notably, one person who won't be in attendance today is President Trump. He was not invited, and this marks the first time a sitting president does not attend the opening of a presidential library. Vlad.
All right, Caitlin, I know that you saw some of those cool guests. I watched your Instagram, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks.
I was a little starstruck.
I know. That was awesome.
Caitlin. For this congressional reporter, those are some real stars.
I know.
Caitlin did a little shimmy there.
For everybody. I know. Caitlin was like, yeah, I'm Steven Spielberg. Thank you, Caitlin. That was awesome. All right, World Cup fans visiting from around the world are making the most of their time here in the U.S. And they have these videos that are trending online showing these fans enjoying the best America has to give. Very good food.
Oh my days.
Oh my days. Oh my days.
Oh my gosh. Oh my word, it's so good.
Oh my God, that is revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
So what I love about this video is there's often this perception from Europeans and other people around the world in Asia, Latin America, Africa, that we don't have great food, that our food is fattening and gross. Clearly, people love what we make here. Visitors are obsessing over the Cheesecake Factory.
Yep.
Taco Bell.
Talk about it.
Bucky's.
Uh-huh.
There's a German man who goes by Freddy on X, and he's collected a large following while touring down south. He rated Waffle House a 10 out of 10.
I'm not mad at it.
Right? He wrote that lives were changed at Raising Cane.
Okay.
And he declared Taco Bell the Holy Land.
Hallelujah.
I love this.
Come on now.
So much.
Stop hating on our cuisine.
So yeah, we can represent. We can represent what the best cuisine the world has to offer right
now.
No
doubt about it. I love those spots.
Me too.
It might be 2 o'clock in the morning after the club, but I love it.
I only got one thing to say. Oh, my days.
It is time to look at some of the stories that caught our eye with Kelly O'Grady. Kelly, what do you got for us?
Hey, good morning, Nate. All right, we're going to begin today in Los Angeles, where a shelter-in-place order has just been lifted after a massive fire Wednesday at a warehouse. It sent thick smoke billowing through the area. Now, firefighters believe ammonia, which is used for refrigeration, could have fueled the fire. Fortunately, no injuries have been reported. The cause of that fire still remains under investigation. Next up, some terrifying moments in Mexico, where strong winds lifted a giant inflatable bouncy castle off the ground, leading it to collapse. At least 10 children were injured. Adults were seen running toward the structure to help the children trapped inside. Get this, authorities say the inflatable bouncy house would have probably gone even higher if it weren't for the roof above it. So I guess some news, good news there. Next up, Apple is getting ready to take a bigger bite out of your wallet. Outgoing CEO Tim Cook told the Wall Street Journal the company will be raising prices to cover the increasing cost of memory and storage chips. He called the adjustments unavoidable as AI data centers drive a higher demand for the chips. Cook didn't specify how much prices would go up for or on which products. Industry analysts expect Apple to release its first foldable iPhone alongside other updated models in September. Last up, let's end on a fun one. Ahead of today's ticker tape parade for the Knicks, New Yorkers turned out for a Jalen Brunson lookalike contest.
We're still
of course we are, Vlad. Come on, get on board.
Oh, yeah.
$5,000 was on the line for the person who looked most like the finals MVP. Okay, right, pretty good
okay,
right
there.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
While there were some strong contestants.
Was that Jared?
What? You gotta see the young fan that stole the show.
And let's go to Brunson 3. Woo! I think we got our winner right here.
That is 5-year-old Francisco, coined Little Brunson. He was crowned the winner, but it gets even better. Check out who gave him a call after his big win.
No.
Great, superstar himself, Jalen. Seems like Francisco. You see it in his face. He just seems like a little
Does he even know who Jalen Brunson is?
Doesn't even know what's going on.
Who doesn't know Jalen Brunson right now, Vlad?
He's like, where did my dad bring me? These people are crazy.
Hey, 5,000 big ones.
I hear you on that. Right. Dad, make sure you share the money with little man.
Put it in the savings account.
Brunson FaceTimed that little kid in the middle of the lookalike contest.
That's
see everybody looking on? That is unbelievable.
He's the best.
He's the king.
I mean, we loved him already, and now we love him so much more. That's Kelly,
thank you, Kelly. That was awesome. All right, at the FIFA Men's World Cup, all 48 teams have now played one match. Two of soccer's biggest names had very different results on Wednesday. Harry Kane led England to a win over Croatia, the main competition in its group, and a recent World Cup powerhouse. Meanwhile, 41-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo played all 90 minutes for Portugal, but his team only got a draw against the Democratic Republic of Congo, playing its first World Cup match since 1974. The U.S. team will play its game tomorrow in Seattle, and Nicole Valdez is following all the action.
He's in the box. That's out there. Plus, Kane, it's a goal.
In the 94th minute, Ghana delivered a game winner against Panama that stunned fans.
And a crashing header.
In Dallas, England's all-time leading goal scorer, Harry Kane, proved exactly why he's still the face of the Three Lions.
It's Marcus Rashford!
Marcus Rashford put a bow on a comfortable 4-2 win against Croatia. And as thousands of England supporters sang along to Oasis, it only felt fitting, after all. Over in Houston, Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal side struck first against the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Neto's cross and that's headed out.
The underdogs didn't back down, though, securing a meaningful draw against one of the world's top-ranked sides. In a sea of red, the goal sparked celebrations from a small but passionate group of fans watching from Lisbon.
And a lot of fans are watching all the action with a beer in hand.
Hundreds of riled-up England supporters drank a whopping 5,000 beers at one bar. It's been good for business, says Amy Best, a waitress at Rookie Sports Bar in Seattle. Ahead of the much-anticipated U.S.-Australia match.
People have been asking for opening up early. I expect there's going to be a line out the door.
And the U.S. men's team arrived here in Seattle last night. They're set to practice today with all eyes on star Christian Pulisic, who is still nursing that earlier calf injury. But if you ask his teammates, he is ready for Friday's matchup against Australia. Nate.
All right, Nicole, thank you. It's so good to hear that these businesses are making some money.
I love it.
Americans are feeling a pinch right now, and there's some local bars and restaurants that are really going to make some good cash.
And we're going to talk about it and what to watch as to what some of those fans and players are discovering about hospitality in America.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to
that. These unexpected benefits of the World Cup, especially when England's involved. Anything in the U.K. seems to run these taps dry.
In this morning's Money Watch, we are talking about the stress of saving for retirement. Americans say they are not feeling too confident about having enough money to live comfortably when they stop working. So that's where we bring in CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. She's going to break it all down, give you some tips on what you can do today to prepare for tomorrow. All right, so we know how people are feeling about retirement, but there's also some new data about savings. What can you tell us about
that? It's incredible, actually. Fidelity released their report about saving for retirement. And maybe because we're kind of all a little freaked out about saving for retirement, we're saving more. And in fact, contribution levels have gone up pretty dramatically to new highs as of the first quarter of the year. We see it across the board. All different income levels, all different age groups, and it's been pretty remarkable. I just want to point out one statistic that really stuck out to me. When we look at this, contributions surged 29% from a year ago. And when you look at your contribution plus your employer match, if you have one, we now see at Fidelity at least a 14.4% contribution level. You know, boring CFPs like me, we always say, like, hope to get to 15%. This is pretty close. So it's very good news about the saving out there.
How should people who are different ages think about retirement?
I'm going to start with closest going down age range.
Okay.
Okay. So you're a baby boomer. You're still working. The first thing you should do is make sure you understand the Social Security system. No, it's not going
should
broke.
Should baby boomers still be working?
Yeah, they can work. A lot of them are still working because they have to and or they want to.
Yeah.
Check SSA.gov. Be familiar with that.
Yeah.
Go down a group now. Okay? Okay. So you're now a boomer. You're now going to Gen X.
Right.
Now you should be really maxing out. You should be trying really hard to get as much money money as you possibly can. This is your peak earning period. You want to try to get that $24,500 into the plan. And by the way, it's $8,000 extra if you happen to be over the age of 50. If you're still working from 60 to 63, you can put a total of almost 36 grand into your retirement accounts. Going down from there, we just want to just say, I know millennials and Gen Z, you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Get into the habit. Start early. A little bit at a time is what's going to get you there. Consistency. You don't have to outguess the market.
There is a lot going on for us millennials. It's true. But if people are crunching the numbers and they're not looking good, what advice do you have for them?
All right. First of all, crunching the numbers is really important. So if you have a plan at work, you can do it there. If you fall short, there's a few things to consider. Control what you can control. Manage what you can't. So what can you control? When you retire, how much you spend. Now, you might say, I have a really hard job. I am not going to be able to work till I'm 68 years old. Maybe you're, you know, you could be a blue collar worker and be like, I'm not standing on my feet. You can see the people here standing in this room. You're not standing on your feet till you're 68, 70 years old.
Yep.
So what can you do? Maybe what you can do is you can say, I'm going to adjust my spending. Maybe what you could do is save a little more. But most importantly, what you could do is try to find an off ramp, something where you can make a little less money, but work longer. That is a great plan.
Jill Schlesinger always breaking it down. The future is now, so you better get busy.
You betcha.
Better get busy. And speaking of getting busy, ahead, actor Busy Phillips is here. She will talk about landing her dream role and living with ADHD. We are back in 90 seconds.
Actor Busy Phillips has been gracing our screens for more than two decades. She's known for her iconic roles on TV in shows like Freaks and Geeks and Dawson's Creek. We love Dawson's Creek. Nice. And the movie White Chicks. Love that, too. Now Phillips is opening up about her ADHD diagnosis. So according to the CDC, 15.5 million adults are living with ADHD, and more than half were diagnosed when? In adulthood. Women are also more likely to be diagnosed later in life than men. And Busy Phillips joins us now. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
We're so delighted to have you.
Thank you.
So tell us about why you want to talk about this and how you were even diagnosed. You were in with a doctor with your daughter.
Yes.
And the doctor's going on about kind of symptoms and you're thinking what?
Yes. Well, as he was sort of going through the checklist with my daughter, all of a sudden, like a light bulb went off and I was like, wait, that's me. Every single thing was me. And I, you know, because of course, my daughter's like, you make everything about you.
And we're like,
I was like, but for real. And the doctor was like, yeah, you should go talk to your own physician. And so once I did that and got the diagnosis, it's been a journey. It's been a few years now, several years actually. And sort of like a whole world opened up in my life in terms of being able to see how it had affected my life up until my early, like my late 30s, early 40s, which is when I was diagnosed.
What was that transformation? What did knowing what you were struggling with do to change the way that you looked at yourself and the world?
Well, I mean, first of all, I was able to get treatment and figure out the best methods for myself. So, you know, I use a medication called Qelbree that's a non-stimulant once a day medication, but also there are different like coping mechanisms and also just being able to have the language behind it. Mm. I think a lot of times, I mean, we know because of medical bias, right, that women are sort of less likely to be diagnosed with ADHD because it presents differently than what we've heard ADHD, the symptoms to be, you know, hyperactivity, running around in circles. And that was never my experience. I wasn't, while I have a lot of energy and have certainly lived up to my name, I was sort of like internalizing so much of my disorganization and not being able to keep things straight. And for many years in my life, I thought that there was just something wrong with me. I would look at other people around me seemingly have a much easier time. I mean, and that goes way back to school and high school and college.
So Cupertino, let's talk about Cupertino.
Let's talk about Cupertino.
It's a CBS legal drama. You've called it your dream role and your dream job, but I'm curious, I've been a fan of yours since Freaks and Geeks. We talked about this, but I want to know how this diagnosis has changed the way you approach the craft of acting.
Oh. Mm. Well, one thing that is common in ADHD is hyperfocus. And I see that very clearly with my daughter, especially whenever she has a new hobby or something that she's very interested in. And for me, there's Birdie, one of my two beautiful kids. And for me, I've always been able to sort of hyper focus on my job, on acting, because it's the thing I love the most in the world. And getting Cupertino, CBS, this fall. It's a new legal drama from the Kings, who brought us The Good Wife and The Good Fight and Elsbeth. And it stars Mike Coulter and Rachel Keller and me and Renee Elise Goldsberry and Nick Dadani. And we're having a really great time filming it. I've never done a legal procedural, so this has been just the greatest experience. I love awesome. It.
Real quick, are you going to the Knicks parade?
I'm going right now.
Okay, no way.
Yes,
okay.
I am. Hey. I am. I'm going to change. I have to change.
It's
I'm not
chaos
wearing this.
Out there. You be careful.
No,
be careful,
I know, baby. I know. But you know what? I'm just going to get close. It was so fun being in the city on Saturday night for game five.
Laser focus to your point.
Yeah,
you go.
I got to go.
Phillips, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
we appreciate you.
Now to our series, Pushing the Limits. After a terrible accident, a Georgia man's passion for music was almost taken forever. But Jason Barnes refused to quit. Thanks to his determination and to technology, the amputee is now a record-breaking drummer. Mark Strassman has his inspiring story.
Jason Barnes's life has a resilience with two distinct backbeats. This drummer can play. And he does it somehow with a prosthetic for a right hand.
People don't realize how phenomenal and dexterous your hand actually is. It's a very complex task to try and develop something that can control the way your hand moves to playing drums.
It's amazing that this thing can mimic it as well as it does.
It is completely incredible.
Just as incredible how the 36-year-old Georgian got to this point. In 2012, Barnes was a technician cleaning a duct on a roof.
What I remember is an explosion sound and a pink flash of light, and then I wake up in the hospital. My arm was insanely burnt.
He faced either years of surgery, pain, and an iffy outcome, or the option he chose. Doctors amputated his right arm below the elbow.
It's a brutal decision.
Not only was it that I'm not going to be able to play drums anymore, but it was like, I can't open a water bottle.
Barnes fought depression for weeks. He was a 22-year-old one-armed drummer.
I finally just got sick of it and proceeded to tape a drumstick to my bloody bandages and attempt to play. It was very painful, but that moment is what allowed me to believe that there was something more.
As soon as you picked up the sticks
again. As soon as I taped the stick to my arm and proceeded to play, that's when I knew that this was possible. 3, 2.
He eventually got in touch with the robotics department at Georgia Tech. Their collaboration led to this, a cutting-edge prosthetic hand. Inside, a series of proprietary sensors.
It essentially just reads my muscles.
The sensors pick up the impulses and tell the prosthetic to mimic the movement.
Exactly.
How close are your right hand and your left hand as a drummer?
They're pretty close. It pretty much just does a 360 array around my arm.
His prosthetic is so good, Barnes set a Guinness World Speed Record, 2,400 drum beats in 1 minute. He sometimes plays with famous friends, such as comedians Fred Armisen and Jason Sudeikis. And he started a nonprofit, Limitless Sound. It tries to help other musicians facing physical or mental challenges.
How do we develop this device? What do they need?
It gave you the drums back, but it, in a sense, did it give you your sense of self back too?
100%.
Jason Barnes found his own rhythm again. Now he's banging the drum for others. For CBS Mornings, I'm Mark Strassman in Conyers, Georgia.
Another example of what you go through will help you get through that. All right, up next, we have music superstar French Montana is here.
Hey, what
this
up?
A surprise and act of kindness in the wake of one man's setback. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. You, of course, are looking at Lower Manhattan, where more than a million Knicks fans are expected at today's championship parade. Also, there are more than 10,000 NYPD officers. During a celebration last week, you may remember this. A group of people swarmed and vandalized a taxi. You can see it right there. They got on top of the hood, smashing on it, and they smashed the windshield. The story of that driver went viral, and calls to help him out spread like wildfire. One of the people who saw those calls was music superstar French Montana. We can exclusively reveal that the Grammy-nominated rapper surprised that cab driver, his name is Nordin Bitat, with a $75,000 check and is covering 6 months of living expenses. And we asked French Montana to be here.
Montana!
Blige, what's up?
How are you?
Man, this is such a good story. We've been talking about it all morning long. When you first saw this video of those rowdy fans destroying this man's livelihood, what made you want to help?
When I first came to America with my father, he kind of was trying to open up his own businesses, and him driving a taxi was one of them. And I just saw a man try to feed his family, just getting. Mm-hmm. I asked him, "Do he even watch the Knicks?" He said, "I don't even know what the Knicks is."
Wow.
Right.
So he was just happened to be working around the place, and you know, and things unfortunate happened to him. He don't deserve it. So we all came together to help him.
So his story, it pulled at your heartstrings. There was something very familiar.
It hit a nerve.
It hit a nerve.
Yeah.
And what was it like when he received that check?
I mean, he was happy. I told him I want 10% back. We're putting it together for him.
So what was it like talking to him? I mean, he's from Algeria, I believe. You grew up in Morocco, moved to the Bronx when you were 13 years old. Did you talk to him? Did you speak to him in Arabic?
Yeah, I spoke to him. Actually, one of his best friends is Moroccan. So we was able to all talk, and we all went to pray after.
Really?
We all prayed and everything.
But what did he tell you about what this will do for him? I mean, as we pointed out, this is the man's livelihood. He probably wasn't aware of what was happening because he's not tracking the Knicks. He's trying to earn a buck. And now all of a sudden, you've essentially changed his life.
Yeah, definitely. He said he doesn't want to drive anymore. Mm. And I just told him I will personally assist him until he finds out what's the next thing he will do.
That's why you're helping him out for 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, probably longer than that, a year. Yeah. I'm going to just personally assist him until he figure out what he wants to do.
The point that your dad drove a cab and it was out of necessity, and once he was able to do something else, he did. And this man, you're providing him the pathway to do something else with his life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. I love that because you don't have to do it. You're just doing out the kindness of your heart. But let's talk about the Knicks, though, because you are as New York as New York gets.
Yeah.
And you also dropped a remix for the Knicks.
Before we go to the Knicks, I want to give a shout out to my brother, Zach.
Yeah.
You know, he got a big platform because me and him came together to do it. I want to give a shout out to the Taxi Union. I want to give a shout out to GoFundMe. And I want to give a shout out to all the people that came together to make this man life easy.
Yes.
Now we can move on to the
Yeah, we appreciate that shout out.
I make sure everybody, you know.
Yeah, everybody get the love. Platform. There's a lot of people involved.
Yeah, for sure.
So you dropped a remix.
Yes.
To your anthem. And you're familiar with anthems, man. You've been dropping them forever.
Yeah.
But this is different, though. It hits different because the Knicks are now champs.
Yeah.
What is it like to see this team get this title?
I wasn't alive when they got the last title.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and last time they won a title, hip-hop was created.
Mm. Mm.
So them winning a title now, it just shows anybody in the world that you need to have patience. Because the Knicks waited 53 years to win the championship.
That's what I'm going to say to my kids when they're not patient. Listen, the Knicks waited 53 years for their championship. Thank you.
So definitely, man, it's a beautiful thing. Because we was too, the Yankees made us, you know.
And then the Giants came and they started winning.
Yeah. It was a privilege, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like, okay, the Knicks finally got it.
Yeah.
It's like the World Cup.
Yeah, no doubt.
For us, you know.
No doubt. Hey, well, listen, French Montana, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, man.
Well done again. Not just what you do in the studio as an artist, but what you're doing for the people.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Thank you.
That is singer-songwriter Miles Smith's breakout hit, Stargazing. It has more than 1 billion streams on Spotify and has spent 52 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. Smith's highly anticipated debut album, My Mess, My Heart, My Life, drops tomorrow. Smith spoke with Anthony Mason about his overnight success that was actually years in the making.
She said, oh, hi, nice to meet you.
With his global hits, Nice to Meet You, and Stargazing, Miles Smith is suddenly everywhere on pop radio. But he didn't come out of nowhere.
And I played
more than 1,000 shows before I ever touched TikTok.
Really?
Yeah, really. It feels overnight to probably the world, but to me it's like 16 years in by that point.
The 28-year-old singer was raised in a British Jamaican family in Luton, England. Fractured family, where work could start a war. He started writing songs at age 11.
You go inside of yourself easily?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I grew up that way. I was the youngest of three. You know, separation happened quite early in my parents' marriage. And, you know, as a result of sort of like the chaos of a separation amongst three children, it's like I learned very quickly to not say much, internalize stuff and just get through it.
It's a lot to go through personally, but it's really good for songwriting.
Yeah, it's amazing for songwriting. Absolutely, absolutely.
Last year, when Smith was named Rising Star at the Brit Awards, the British Grammys, he urged the government to support music more.
How many more venues need to close? How many more music programs need to be cut before we realize that we can't just celebrate success? You have to protect the foundations that make it.
I loved what you said at the Brit Awards about
it. Thank you so much. Yeah. But that all stems from my mum always telling me, like, put the ladder down wherever you go.
Smith actually took a different path for a while, starting a successful strategic development business in his early 20s.
Being in that position where I had sort of all the things I thought I wanted and then going, oh, I still feel really empty, was really important for me.
So you went back to your mom and said, I want to do music?
Yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
Honestly, I thought she'd be like, are you insane? But she was like, I always knew you was eventually going to reach this point again. And she was like, I'm here to support you in whatever you want to do.
Smith was just making his career turn when the pandemic happened.
During COVID, I was like at peak sort of like depression in life and in therapy and stuff. And every time my friend said use TikTok, I was like, I'm not going to dance. Like, I'm not going to sit there and dance for people that I don't know. I still see your
shadows in my room. But when he reluctantly began posting covers on TikTok, they took off.
What were you thinking as that was all happening?
I was like, this thing makes no sense, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. I'd be lying if I said it was strategic at the start.
Yeah, yeah. 1, 2, 3. You ended up touring with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Yeah. That was wild.
They quickly became close friends.
You had a great phrase about the two of you. What was it?
Oh, Jaff Cakes. They're like chocolate biscuit cakes with like orange in the middle.
Yeah.
So call us the Jaffa Cakes.
I'm never going to look at them the same on the supermarket aisle. You don't see it, but I promise
there's a light. Smith has been open about the stresses of touring the world.
It sounds really like luxury on the surface, but the reality is like my body clock is absolutely broken.
Yes.
I don't know what day or time it is most of the time. You sit in that and you have a bit of a meltdown.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
I'm really lucky that I get to travel with my band and I've known my band like 10 years. Wow. So they're like my actual friends before all of this, you know.
When he performs, Smith says, he can feel two completely different emotions.
It sounds really weird, but the stage felt like the calmest I've ever been.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Before getting on the stage, absolutely not.
I wonder why you feel the anxiety going on the stage when you know that you're so calm once you are on it.
That is a question for my therapist. I remember there's this video, probably TMI, of my first support tour of me throwing up like violently, stepping out on stage and singing the first song like flawlessly. And it was like within 15 seconds of each other.
It's like two different people.
Yeah, and I can never tell you why.
Take my In writing his new debut album, My Mess, My Heart, My Life, Smith went back to notes he took during years of therapy sessions.
How did you feel about yourself when you were reading the notes?
It was weird. I was sad for sure that I ever got to the point of feeling of how I felt, but also reading through it, I was sort of proud of the resilience, which was like really awesome to see.
You realized how much you'd grown.
Yeah, and how much growing I still got left to do.
You were right there all along.
And Miles, will you be back on tour with Ed Sheeran starting this weekend, actually in Nashville, Tennessee?
His music and his laughter are infectious.
Yeah, really.
Anthony did it again. Thank you very much. And if you want to watch more of Anthony's interviews, subscribe to his new show, Alchemy, with Anthony Mason. You can find it on YouTube.
Go subscribe right now.
That's right. Go do it right now. That does it for us on this Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow on CBS Mornings.
Have a great day. Go Knicks.